Yud Aleph Elul, 26th of August, Rabbi David Rowe, Kilayim.
We're not going to try to cover all the dinim that are halachas of Kilayim, certainly not trying to pasten any halachas, rather just looking at the relevant psukim that come in this sedra and in Kedoshim, and quote some of the mafarshim on them. I'm very indebted to very many resort references to the Sefer the Shari Aaron, which is an excellent pirush on the Chumash. In our Sedra in Kiseitse, we find a set of three psukim that talk about forbidden mixtures. It says in Perek Kafes, Pasuk Tes, Leisizra Karmacha Kilayim. You shouldn't plant a kerem with Kilayim. In case it becomes osa, and indeed this is talking about kilai hakerem, which is different from all other kilai, and the produce is completely forbidden in osa bahanor, as really you would expect if an aveira was done in planting wheat and barley together within the vineyard, we would expect the produce to be osa, and so it is. The next pasuk says, lo sacharish b'shor v'chamor yachtov. We can't plough together with the shor and the chamor, and ploughing is working together with the animals. That includes tying two animals together, pulling a wagon, etc. And finally, it says lo silbas shatnez temer upishtim yachtov. You can't wear shatnez, as we know, that's another type of kilayim, of wool and linen together. In fact, we only find the word kilayim in the first posuk to do with the kilayim in the kerem. However, the same psukim, or the same mitzvahs, averas, are mentioned in the Sedra Kedoshim. And there it says in Perik Yutes, Posuk Yutes, the same three mitzvahs all in one posuk, and each time the word kilayim is used. You shall keep the mitzvahs. This time it starts with behema, and it's not talking about pulling a wagon or ploughing, but rather you mustn't crossbreed any two animals together. And then it mentioned the rule of the sodeh, that we mustn't do any sort of planting of two things together, not only the example of the kerem. And quite surprisingly, the Mefarshim all tell us that even though an Aveira was done with two sets of Zeroim, or including the grafting of trees to produce some hybrid fruit, we're actually allowed to eat the product of such an Aveira, and a fruit which never really existed, Mishashis Yemei Bereshis, and was produced with an Issa, surprisingly we're allowed to eat them. And finally it says, Uveged Kilayim, now even with a garment of shatnez, it says, Lo Yale Alecha. So the word Kilayim is used by all three. There are three types of forbidden mixtures. Is the order significant of them? The Orach Chaim points out that in the Sedra Kedoshim, the animals are mentioned first, and they come out next to the immediate previous Pesukim, which was, V'ahavtol Areach HaKomoicha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, among people, he wants us all to love each other and get on well with each other. So the Orach Chaim says, a bit surprisingly, that even if we're told we mustn't crossbreed animals together, I might have thought that if they're both behemoth tahoros, both kosher animals, Hashem is interested in achdus and reyus and hischabrus among people, and maybe even among animals. So had I only been told that you mustn't crossbreed animals, I would have said that if they are both tahorim, it would have been permitted. No, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, behem techo lo sarbia kerna, he's medayik the final chof, which tells me your behema, even those that are sort of close to us, the animals that we have around us, which will normally be tahorim, and even those are forbidden. And an interesting point about shatnez coming last, not so much in Sefer Kedoshim, but in our Sedra of Kiseitse, it's quite well known that immediately after the pasuk of shatnez, which is a type of kilayim, it says, Gedilim tasa lecho al arba kanfas kusa asher tchase bo. We're allowed to wear, we should wear tzitzis on any four, we must put tzitzis on any four-cornered garment. And why is it put immediately next to shatnez? To teach you that as an exception, we would be allowed to have shatnez if we are wearing tzitzis. And this will have to be the case, because one of the tzitzis is the psil techeles, and techeles isn't just a color of the material, but it has to be made of wool. So whereas the rest of the strings in theory could be something else, but if we had a linen garment, and the Torah talks about most begodim are made of wool or linen, so if we had a linen garment, we are forced to put on techeles, and that would be wool, and tying the knot of the strings upon the beged makes it into sharpeners. Although there's a debate how you could make sharpeners, surely it needs the very word sharpeners is shua tovi venuz, which is a sugya, and it's a rashi, and a toisus, and a forashim, and they have to be really woven and mixed together if you follow one opinion. But it's clear from this juxtaposition that it would have been also just to tie a knot of a woolen string around the tzitzis would have been an isra of sharpeners, even though they weren't woven together, they weren't manufactured together. The fact that it's tied on with a double knot, which is shel kayoma, would be enough to make it sharpeners, except that Hashem says it's an exception and we're allowed to do so. And this is the prototype for the rest of the Gemara, many, many places in Mefarshim, that in general, a mitzvah aseh can push aside a lois aseh, the famous rule aseh toich a lois aseh. So that's Hashem, and that Hashem sort of included in these pesukim and showing us these rules. Additionally, as we saw, each of the sets of the pesukim had minor differences, and we learn halachas about begodim with sharpeners, and we learn the details of all are slightly different. In each, Hashem is a poor pasuk in one place and a rich pasuk somewhere else, so the details are filled in for both of them. In fact, although it says behem techor, with kilai, with your animals, we might have thought that that only means your own animals that we own, but no, that the isra of crossbreeding would apply to any animal, and the mefarshim say, and one couldn't have a job to be being marbia or crossbreeding animals and say, well, they're not mine, I'm just doing it for somebody else. Although it says behem techor, we do not exclude other people's animals. On the contrary, we've said from the Or HaChaim that the final chof is coming to include tohoirim and not to exclude anything. But when it says artzachor in kiboshim, that says we mustn't plant seeds and graft trees, that is truly also everywhere, midaraisa, because artzachor, I beg your pardon, when it says artzachor, the final chaf there we do infer only means in Eretz Yisrael for seeds. Grafting trees is truly osa everywhere. But Klai HaKerem is also only osa midaraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Are these mitzvahs things that we understand quite easily, or are they in the category of chukim? Well, our pasuk doesn't say anything, it's just mentioned there. But if you remember, the pasuk in Kedoshim starts off, Es chukaisai tishmoiru, you should keep my chukim. And Rashi adds the words, Ve'elu hein. And these are coming. The next three things, these are going to be the chukim, mitzvahs that we do not understand. Rashi even says, chukim elu gezeiros melech, they are the rules of the king, she'ein tam ledovo, for which there is no reason. The Ramban comments on this, Rashi, and says that Rashi doesn't really mean there is no reason at all. There is no known reason, he means, and ordinary people will not understand the reasons, and we will wonder about them, and the worst people will criticize them. But on the contrary, there are reasons. Wise people understand some of the chukim of the Torah. Shlomo HaMelech understood all of the chukim except for Parah Aduma. Moshe Rabbeinu even understood the Parah Aduma. And chukim are not things that we don't understand. Hashem is like a king, which is a king, like Rashi said. They are the gezeirah of the melech. And a king, at least in those days, understood what he was doing. And his subjects, who are not aware of all the information, they wouldn't understand why the king made this decree or that decree. So they would have to accept it or criticize it as they wished. But of course the king knew what he was doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more so. Having explained Rashi, the Ramban nevertheless argues with him and says that the aveira of crossbreeding animals or mixing up different zeroim to produce new fruit or new creatures are not chokim at all. Hashem made the world and he made the living creatures. It says in Bereishis many times the word leminehu and leminehem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made every animal that it should be its own type, and every plant and every tree should be of its own type. And not only was it made there and then, but there's an ability within every animal, within every tree, to reproduce forever. And it will reproduce the same thing. Wheat will always come out again as wheat, and an apple tree will always produce more apple trees. And for us to try to improve, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, or to tamper with it, is forbidden without having to resort to any chayk. We're trying to change the nature of the world in this manner. And indeed, he points out, well, know that the products of such animals, such as a mule, which is produced from a forbidden or from a mixture of two, are sterile. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be limineyem. He wanted them to last and carry on for generations, and to intervene with that is forbidden. He says as well that sowing seeds together or grafting also makes some changes, and also they do not continue. The next generation of the trees will not continue in the same fruit that will have been sort of manufactured. Of course, he doesn't talk about genetic engineering nowadays. I haven't really gone into that, maybe on another occasion. It doesn't seem that at first thought that that would be the same issue as this, but it's not for today. He also adds Alpi Kabbalah, he reminds us, it's quite well known, the statement of in Kabbalah, that every seed, every blade of grass has got a malach that is in Shemayim looking after it. A lot of malachim, and they're telling it to grow and how to grow and to be a blade of grass, as it were, and certainly an apple tree, to be an apple tree and to grow well, and we should intervene with such a thing. On the other hand, he can't deny that the pasuk does say the word chukim. It says, eschukai sai tishmairu. So rather, the Ramban says, there's a pasuk and a phrase, chukai shamayim va'oretz, that I prepared the ways of shamayim va'oretz, which I understand to mean the natural order. And he quotes a medrash in Medrash Rabbah that says that is the word chukim in this particular pasuk, that Hashem says, eschukai sai tishmairu, keep my world which I created, let it carry on as it is and as it should be, and therefore don't mix up the animals and the plants. The Netziv says on his own exactly the same shot, quoting the same thing. What about ploughing with two animals together? That's not mentioned in the Seder of Kedoshim, but how would that be forbidden? If according to the Rashi, everything's a chayk, so you can't plough with two animals together. It's all part of the chayk. But according to the Ramban, that surely the issa is logical to intervene with nature. So the Ramban himself says that harisha is a sort of a gezeira. If two animals plough together or pull a wagon together, if they work together, they'll presumably be put to rest, to have their rest after working, and will relax together. And once they're relaxing together, then it's effectively, possibly, leading to crossbreeding. It's a sort of a gezeira that once you've got the two animals together, it might lead to more things, it's sort of a yichud situation. I didn't really understand this, because I've seen in many mafarshim that the isra of crossbreeding is only when we do it without getting too biologically, but mamash manually getting involved, literally bringing the two animals physically together, but you're dying. Just putting them together and closing the door is not osa. And here, you're not even doing that. You're actually just ploughing with them, and they might come to be in the same way, but maybe they're somehow worse. However, the Meshech Chochma concludes that this particular aspect of mixing animals is really a chayk. Rashi says in Kiseitse that Shor v'chamor is lav dafka. When Hashem says you mustn't mix together with ploughing two different animals, it gives an example. So Hashem gives an example of something which is likely and which is most common. But in fact, any two animals you mustn't use together for ploughing, pulling a wagon. Just like crossbreeding, we don't actually make any distinctions. Anything and everything is osa. And maybe Rashi means it literally like the Rosh says, but maybe Rashi himself is lav dafka when he says any animals, because the Rambam and the Chinuch say that it's only osa min ha-Torah if it's like shor v'chamor, in that one animal is tohor and one animal is tomeh. There seems to be an aveira to plough together with a tohor animal and a tomeh animal rather than any two animals at all together. And Tosfos say that there's an aspect of Tzar Balei Chaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got rachmonus on the tomeh animal. Because the tohor animal, one of the signs of being tohor, is that it chews the cud. So a cow and an ox, they'll be eating, as it were, all the time. Like people with chewing gum. They're always eating, or appear to be eating. So the poor chamoer, he only gets his meal two or three times a day, and that's it. And he looks at his neighbour who's doing all the hard work, but he always seems to be eating, and therefore it may make him upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy even on the chamoer. However, as somebody points out, this wouldn't explain a gomel. In theory, then you should be allowed to plough together with a shoer and a gomel, because a gomel also chews the cud, so they'll both be eating. The Ibn Ezra says that a shoer is much stronger than a chamor, and therefore, if you're pulling together, the poor chamor has to work hard to keep up, and it's cruel, as it were, so it's a chesed to the chamor. And again, Meforshim point out, this wouldn't cover all cases. The Chinuch says that it's cruel to force two different creatures to be together where each of them naturally would choose its own type. If you imagine a field and you put a lot of chamoyrim and a lot of shoyrim together, the shoyrim would probably drift together and the chamoyrim would drift together. People as well, we gravitate towards our friends or people with whom we have a connection. And then you're going to force two strangers, as it were, to be together. This is not fair on the animals. And indeed in the mubble, in the run-up to the mubble, we are told that the animals chose other types of animals. But this was a chiddush, this was odd, this was a disgrace, this was unusual. So maybe we can apply this as well. Indeed he says so. The Sefer HaChinuch concludes we should apply this as well. If you need to appoint two people to do a job together, we shouldn't try to force people with a very different nature to be forced to share a task together where one has got one star, one's got another star. I was wondering how that applies to Shidduchim, but that's not for now. And on the contrary, sometimes we say the opposites attract. It doesn't have to be exactly the same outlook. Sometimes it's better to be a bit different. If an animal is produced like a mule, is one allowed to now plough with a single animal called a mule because it's now made up of two components from the horse and the donkey or any other hybrid animal? Is ploughing with it or riding on it osa? Because maybe you're as it were using a pair of animals which are embodied in one single animal. So I came across the Yerushalmi, which I haven't studied. Issi ben Akavya says it's osa, a pirador. You're not allowed to ride on a female mule because it's a kal v'choma. If you can't plow with two animals, which are two separate animals, and that's not yet mixed up the two, how much more so if the animals are mixed together as a single thing, but you've got two parts of animals in front of you, and rather like shatnas, he says, we can learn a kal v'choma from shatnas that wool and linen separately are all right. When they're mixed together, it becomes osa. So how much more so? You've got a mule, it must be osa to ride upon it. Yerushalmi asks, As many of you are thinking straight away, but David HaMelech instructed the people to carry Shlomo HaMelech on a pirador. It actually uses that word, so he was mamash permitting it. Yerushalmi answers, that pirador was not born from a pair of older animals, but somehow or other it was made from Sheshes Yemei HaBreshes. It must have been an old animal, and why it would have been used, I don't know. I didn't look up the Meforshim there. But it wasn't, it was like Hashem made the world in a complete form. He also may have made, according to this answer, a pirador at the time, but not that it was born from an Aveira, and therefore such a one was permitted. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that this can't be, this halacha of the Issi ben Akavya, although it's in the Gemara without any machlekas, is not the halacha, it's not brought halacha, because it must be that the Meforshim assumed that he said it, but it was only a das yochid, and the Chachamim argued, although they're not mentioned. So is it possible that one could do an aveira of kilayim, of riding or ploughing with a single animal, where we've seen from the Aruch HaShulchan, Shulchan Aruch, that we don't paskin like Issi ben Yehuda? Surprisingly, there is one example. And those who've learned the end of Makkos, it says if you've got an animal, a shor psulei mekdoshim, an animal that was a korban and developed a mum, so he got redeemed. What's the halacha of an animal that's been redeemed that can no longer be used as a carbon? We may eat it, so it's got an aspect of chayil, but we can't do work with it. It's also begizav avoida, so it's still got some aspect of kodesh. So the Rashi was no longer alive at the end of Makkos, and his pshat was taken over there by the Rivon, and the Rivon says, well look, if you've got a psulei mekdoshim, a redeemed animal, it will be a mixture of kodesh and chayil. And therefore the Gemara says, the Rivon is explaining it, the Gemara says it's also because of kilayim to plow with a single animal which is a redeemed korban. The Rivon leaves it as a kasha because it's all very well to say that it's a mixture of kodesh and chayil, but where does the Torah say that that's a forbidden mixture? So it is a mixture, it's not a forbidden mixture. And indeed, Tosfos there say that's not the right pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos rather says that the Torah says that such an animal is katzvi v'chayil. You're allowed to eat it like a tzvi and an ayol. Now these which are just chulin, and therefore the Torah is saying it's permitted to be eaten. But it made a comparison, really unnecessarily, as it were, to say it's like a tzvi and an ayol. It could have just said one of them. No, Hashem says it's like a pair of animals. No, so there's a hint in the Torah that this single animal is like two. Finally, the Rambam refers to in this connection, but it's well known, there's a pasuk in Bechukosai which talks about if a person is makdish animals, and it uses the phrase a behema tameo. And Rashi says there, and the Meforshim say that word behema tameo means a redeemed korban, and it's talking about rules that apply to it. No, so then we can answer that really, along the lines of the Rivon, that it's kodesh and chayil. We don't find an issa of mixing up kodesh and chayil together. Only two types. Well, Hashem has said that the kodesh aspect is really like tomei. A redeemed korban is called a behema tomei once in the Torah, and therefore it's a case of tomei and tohar. So we've said that some of these mitzvahs are can be understood not as chukim, maybe as logical understand. What about shatnez itself? Shatnez seems to be much more of a chuk, because the Ramban has explained with animals and with plants we're creating new things or trying to do so, but shatnez is just mixing up two items in a garment. There's no growing. It doesn't apply to all types of material, only particular ones. Although the Ramban himself says that even that is like an extension of the halacha of trying to make sure we don't mix species together, but it's not clear why it would have been chosen dafka these two, except that those were the most common materials. So Hashem was saying, yes, you can make garments of wool or from linen, but don't mix them. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says, like many such aveiros, they were based on avodah zorah practice in those days, and therefore to take us away from that. The Chizkuni says that it's well known that in the big day kahuna, the Kohen Gadol would wear shatnez. He was allowed to and instructed to wear shatnez, and some say all the Kohenim did on the belt, but since it's something which has got the special opportunity for Kohenim in their begodim, therefore we, otherwise, not as big day kuna, shouldn't wear shatnez at all. A bit like chaylev and dam, where the chaylev goes on the mizbeach and the dam goes on the mizbeach. So these are special things that have got their place in a korban, and we have to avoid chaylev and dam.
Why is grapefruit allowed and we make a bracha on it? It's a mixture.
It is surprising, but that although despite the avera, we are allowed to do it.
And we make a bracha on such a thing, and it does help us.
Yes, I don't know what, I don't remember what the source was.
Family fruit.
Pardon?
It's food, so.
Yeah, but if you make a completely new fruit, it seems that there's no issa in the result. Not sure where it's learned from, but it's apart from kilaya kerem, all mixtures are permitted. Rabbeinu Bachai connects shatnez of wool and linen to Cain and Hevel. Cain bought from the field, and Rashi says it was linen. And Hevel brought a lamb which had on it wool, and one was good and one was bad. And he says that the Cain and Hevel were mixed up together before they were born in the mother's womb. And such a mixture, which is connected with wool and linen, led ultimately to one killing the other. Therefore we should avoid such a mixture rather leading to Sholem. I heard once a story, a short story, that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was visiting London, and before the war, and he was accompanied by Rav Moshe Sternbuch. I heard this from my chavrusa, who heard this directly from Rav Moshe Sternbuch, that they didn't have fancy cars in those days, Gedolei Yisrael, they went by bus, and they got on the bus, and Rav Chonah Wasserman looked at the seats, and he didn't want to sit down. He looked at it, he thought this is a possibility of shatnas. I presume the other Rabbonim in London were quite happy, but he said, it might be shatnez, and I know the Ikka Issa of shatnez is a beged to wear, and it says, lo yale olecha, that's in deraisas, but in bonons, there's a chashash, he felt that because there's a risk of shatnez, he didn't want to sit down. So in those days they had conductors in the buses, which the young people here won't know what I'm talking about, but the conductors was there walking up and down, and he said to the rabbi, you can't stand, there was no need to stand, this was not a standing bus, you have to sit down. So they tried to explain that for religious reasons I don't want to sit down on the bus, but the conductor wouldn't have anything to do with that, and he literally kicked off the bus Rabbi Chonon Wasserman and Rav Moshe Sternbuch, and I wonder what punishment awaited the conductor in heaven. A similar story occurred when the Chazon Ish was looking for a husband for his sister, and he heard about the Stiplerov who was learning far away. And he invited him to come to meet his sister for a shidduch. And he came, it was a long journey, and he sat down to talk, and he fell asleep while he was talking to her after a few minutes. So she was a bit perturbed and put out by this. It's not quite the way you should do it at a shidduch. So she asked her brother, the Chazon Ish, is this the sort of man you set me up with? And he checked into the matter, and the Stiplerov knew it was a long journey, and he wouldn't be able to learn on the train journey that would take. So he decided to go a night without sleep in order to learn through that night, and then he'll sleep on the train. That was his plan. But it didn't work out, because when he got to the train, he also thought that the seats were a possibility of shatnas in such a way that he felt he wasn't allowed to sit on those seats. So he had to stand. So he was doubly tired. He hadn't slept the night before. He didn't sleep on the journey. And what could he do? He fell asleep. It wasn't planned. So when the Chazon Ish and the sister understood that we're dealing with somebody who's very makbid on halacha and in no way meant to offend her, he was given a second chance, and the rest is history. But we see that our Gedolei Yisrael, they are as much, or even more so, medaktik in mitzvahs as they are brilliant in learning Torah. How can we fulfill these mitzvahs nowadays? Really, keeping a loisaser is only called, you only get a reward for keeping a mitzvah loisaser if an opportunity arises. I mean, we're all here not stealing from anybody now, but I don't think we get a reward for not stealing while we're sitting doing nothing. It's only when there's something lying around or as a possibility, and we think about it for a moment, and we consider the possibility that there's a chance to, we've got a reward for not stealing. And if everybody's quiet, they don't get a reward for not saying Lashon Hara. It's only when we're in a conversation and we think of something juicy to say and we hold back, then we get a reward for Lashon Hara. How do we get a reward for shatnas? That's quite easy. Because whenever we buy clothes, we get them to be tested at our wonderful centre here in Hendon and other places. So by then there's a case. We bought a suit that's got wool in it. It may have linen. So we have it checked. So we're being nizzer in that one. What about with plants and trees? Well, at least, as we said, we are allowed to eat a grapefruit. None of us are farmers, as far as I know, and involved with grafting or such things. But we're allowed. So how can we get a reward ever for this mitzvah? So I thought on Sukkos, when we buy an esrog, we pay a lot extra to be guaranteed that the esrog is not murkav and mixed together with lemons, even though grapefruit is permitted, but if you, it's not the original. So if you'd mixed together a lemon with an esrog, it might be, you could eat such a thing, but it's not an esrog. So by us being very nizar and careful to get a kosher esrog from that aspect, we are participating in keeping that mitzvah. What about mixing animals? How do we ever keep the mitzvah of not mixing animals? We learn the dinim, and if you learn Torah and Hashalom or Parim Sefaseinu, and we undertake that if possible the opportunity would arise, we would be nizar. But I just conclude with a short story that I once heard, that when the Chasam Sofer was a young man, He was accompanying his Rebbe of Nossen Adler, and they were on a wagon, so I heard once a story. It was winter time, and they were snuggled up quite warm inside the wagon, and it was ice and snow and mud, and the wagon got stuck, and the driver called down to them, "Don't worry, rabbis, I'm going to sort it out, and there's another farm nearby, I know the farmer, I'll go and get another horse, and we'll have two horses, and they'll pull the wagon out of the mud." So the young Chasam Soifer must have fallen asleep, and he was woken up by the Rebbe, who pulled him outside into the snow and started singing and dancing in the snow. And the young man asked him, "Why are we dancing, Rebbe?" But he joined in, of course, "But why are we dancing?" He said, "Look," said the Rebbe, he didn't get another horse. He bought an ox or a donkey or something. He bought another animal, and he's tied on kilayim to our wagon. And he's pulling out of the wagon, and we mustn't sit inside. And he said, "I've never ever in my life kept this mitzvah, lamaisa. I've learnt about it, and it's a mitzvah I've never done, so I'm singing and dancing with joy that I've got a practical opportunity to keep this mitzvah. Maybe we'll be zoicha to keep these mitzvahs and all the others as well." No, what's the point of that?